Let us rise to worship God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into the gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name.
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee.
Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth.
Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee.
Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. Let us confess our sins. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world. O Christ, hear us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. O Father, we laud thee as the source of wisdom. In thee is truth, and from thee all knowledge flows. Thine is the wisdom which brought order from disorder in the creation, which set into the heavens sun, moon, and stars. Thine is the wisdom which made this earth habitable, and which has set us in the midst of a beauty which sustains us hourly. Thine is the wisdom which is at once so profound and so simple that we are continually beckoned by it, and can find in it the clue to all that is life and to all that affects life. Thou art wisdom, O Father, and we praise thee. Our own wisdom, if we have any wisdom at all, is but a small fragment of thy wisdom got from thee because of thy love for us. And we do confess, our Father, that much of what we pass off as wisdom is not wisdom at all. The wise men of Israel exclaimed, "Reverence for thee as the beginning of wisdom." Teach us what they meant. Our Lord said, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Teach us not only what he meant, but help us to be like children. We have read in thy word that thy Spirit brings wisdom. May it bring wisdom to us now, here. We confess deep gratitude, our Father, at the opportunity which is ours to be in this place. We are grateful for the sacrifices of our families, of our friends, of our denomination, by which our study is financed and encouraged. We are grateful for the sacrifices of those from whom we learn and by whom we are taught. Because of their years of disciplined study, our course is surer and more direct. We are grateful for the will and the hunger to be here, for the health and the strength to work here, and for the manifold revelations of thyself and thy wisdom which come to us here. Hear us, O Lord, as we earnestly pray for thy presence in our worship and in our work in this place. Teach us how to worship truly. Teach us how to work productively. Grant us that wisdom from thy presence which we can only know in our corporate worship together and in our private worship singly. Keep us ever conscious of the vital necessity of prayer as an anchor and an accompaniment to all we do here, and teach us how to pray. May our education be truly theological, and may we recognize that our real work here is inseparable from real worship here. So, Father, we pray thee, teach us true wisdom. Send thy Spirit to bring us to thee, that in knowing thee we might know ourselves. We raise our confessions and we raise our petitions in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I've been asked by Dr. Johnson to read an announcement. We don't like to make announcements in chapel, but this is a very important announcement and one which concerns the life of the seminary family, and in particular one which has to do with the very vital role of music in worship and in the study life of our campus. Dr. Johnson must have been here to make this notice himself, but as you know, he is not here and has been prevented being here by the death of his wife's father. We must continue to remember the family in our prayers. And Dr. Johnson has sent this announcement, which I read as he has sent it. All members of the seminary community are invited to sing in the seminary choirs. The men's choir meets each Tuesday and Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. in the music classroom at the back of the chapel. The mixed choir rehearses each Tuesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Why not invite your wife to sing the Messiah with us? One half-hour credit is given, and both choirs begin this next Tuesday, September 22nd. I would add a hearty amen to this notice from Professor Johnson and would hope that as many of you as can carry a tune in a bucket or otherwise might see fit to come out and be part of one of these two choirs, perhaps both of the choirs. We hope during the term, as I shall say a little later, to use the choirs more frequently in chapel than we have sometimes done in the past. From the very foundation of this seminary, the faculty and the administration as a whole have recognized and honored the vital role of worship in our life together on this campus. For this reason, provision of a time for worship in the schedule of each school day was made in the first semester schedule ever prepared. And an adequate and beautiful place for our corporate worship was one of the highest priorities and one of the finest achievements of the first administration of Southeastern Seminary. In the years when we had no place of our own in which to worship, we met in the sanctuary of the Wake Forest Baptist Church. I was a student then, and I can well remember one of the happiest recollections of those days, and they were truly happy days. I can well remember that one of the happiest recollections of those days is the direction and stimulation provided by those 30-minute and often sometimes longer sessions when we came together for praise and prayer. I can also remember the excitement with which we as students watched this sanctuary take shape in as clear a demonstration of creatio ex nihilo as this campus has witnessed since Wake Forest College was born in 1834. And my heart, I must tell you very frankly, still thumps when I recall the service of the dedication of this chapel and the magnificent and soaring chords of How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place from Brahms' German Requiem, as they soared round this vaulted ceiling and electrified those of us gathered here for the first of many services of divine worship. These are meaningful memories, and I have a great many more just like them. They are mine because of the foresight of a faculty and administration and a denomination which put a high priority on the importance of worship in the life of the seminarian. That priority has not altered. And if I know my colleagues, that importance has not been diminished. And here at the beginning of a new school year, it falls my task to tell you a bit about some of the plans we're making for worship in the weeks before us in chapel here. One of the most vital concerns of the Faculty Chapel Committee in our planning sessions has been to emphasize the need for a personal devotional practice in our life on this campus. We see this as intimately related to, indeed as supportive of, what goes on here in our daily corporate worship. And we believe that the seminary years should be a time for building personal devotional habits as well as habits of scholarly study and reflection. We thus do not envision the services in this chapel as more than one aspect of worship on this campus, a very important aspect and one for which we covet your full and daily participation, but yet one aspect. And for this reason, we are attempting to emphasize in particular ways the role of personal devotional practice in our life together in the seminary family during this academic year and hopefully in the academic years to follow. Now, I regret that I shall have to make announcements, and I regret to have to take the time for worship this morning to bring to you this report of the chapel committee, because I feel very strongly that chapel worship ought to be chapel worship. I hope this will not be entirely unworshipful, but the chapel committee has seen no better way and could think of no better way to get before you an outline of the plans which we have for worship, and a little later we'll hear from the chairman of the Student Coordinating Council chapel committee as well. We have recommended to the faculty, and they have adopted for the academic year 1970-71, subject to commitments already made with regard to special emphases and special weeks in the chapel services, the following calendar or schedule of worship. We are recommending on any normal given week when we have not already committed ourselves to some other plans that 2 days in a given week in chapel shall be devoted to the kind of service which we have traditionally known. When a member of the faculty or a member of the administrative staff or an outside visitor comes to lead our worship, and these services will be conceived normally along the traditional lines with the singing of hymns, we hope as frequently as possible with an anthem by the choir or with some music by a soloist, and then with a sermon or a message by whoever happens to be the speaker for the day. Now, in addition to these 2 days, which will follow more or less the normal pattern of worship in chapel, we are beginning this term, and this schedule takes effect on October 1, to plan for each normal week in the life of chapel in our school a day which we're calling Music and Meditation. Now, you had the first sample of that on Wednesday of this week. And if I am able to judge on the basis of the response you have made, you liked what you heard. It is our hope that on this day, which we are calling the Day for Music and Meditation, you will come to chapel at the normal time, and the service will proceed without any announcement, normally without any announcement of any kind. On the first such special day, our organist Ted Gossett will lead us as he plays the organ. The program which he will play will be announced in advance. We will come into the chapel. He will begin to play without announcement, and it will be a service, truly, of music and meditation. On other days, we're hoping to have choirs to come and lead us, and on some days, as on Wednesday of this week, we're hoping to have gifted soloists who will come and lead our worship in music. Now, the fourth day of a normal week, we are calling, for want of some better name, the Chapel Open Day. The Chapel Open Day will be, as we envision it, just exactly that. It will be a day when the chapel period from 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock will be open in the schedule. The chapel committee will serve as a coordinating and clearing committee for any special meetings which may be proposed on that day. We are trying in the provision of this day to answer two wants. The first want is the want of a time in the schedule of every week when we all could come together for special emphases. You will know that in the past the chapel hour has been used, for example, by the Student Coordinating Council to present its officers and committees. As we now see it, this function will be moved away from a day on which worship is planned to the open day. And the first such open day will be Friday, October 2nd, and the Student Coordinating Council will have charge of open day in the chapel at that time. On other days, we envision that there may be no formal service or no formal meeting of any kind, either in the chapel or anywhere else on the campus. On still other days, we envision that there might be student forums, discussions, panel groups, and indeed we are very much hoping that various members of the seminary community might see fit to propose through the chapel committee and through the SCC chapel committee that we have special worship, perhaps experimental worship, on these open days. It is my intention to confer with Dean Brown about the possibility of a program in the sacred dance on open day. But to be quite serious, we are hoping that open day will be for you an opportunity for worship, an opportunity to explore deeper meanings. It may well be that we should have a series of special discussions and panels related to our own devotional life, to our personal devotional life as a part of the emphasis of the year. Now, it is my hope that we can mimeograph and make available to you by the 1st of October the broad outline of what I have said here, along with some guidelines which we have for the organization of the opening day, the chapel open day. Mr. Dan McFadden, the chairman of the Student Coordinating Chapel Committee, will have some additional remarks to make, I think, about open day and about the plans which the SCC Chapel Committee have for worship as well. Let me add one other note. We have tried, out of our own concern and in response to many requests, to see if we could open the prayer rooms, which are, as you know, on the second floor of this building at the back of this room. And I'm glad to announce to you that Mr. Cross is able to keep these rooms open and the balcony of the chapel as well from 8 o'clock until 3 o'clock, Monday through Friday. It is our hope that you will see fit to use these prayer rooms. Whether, in fact, we're able to keep them open depends on whether you use them. We invite and we urge your hearty participation in the worship life of this campus, in your personal devotions, and in our corporate family worship together in these days. And we hope that you'll be willing to make suggestions and give us guidance. And now I'll ask Mr. McFadden to come and give his word about the SCC plans.
Thank you, Dr. Durham. Last spring, it was a supreme honor for me to have been elected chairman of the devotional committee of the Student Coordinating Council. As such, I am your representative on the chapel committee, which is comprised of Dr. Durham, Dr. Johnson, Dr. Nations, and Dr. Blackmore. If you have ideas or suggestions, as many of you already have that know me from previous years here, please feel free to come to me and express these to me. I reside during the week in Johnson Dorm, room 205, so I'm usually home, or if I'm not, I'm in the library somewhere around. It is indeed our hope that things will be different this year. I feel they will. You look around you now, and I'm delighted this entire week that the attendance in chapel has been high. For some reason, it seems that problems come upon you and studies become so pressing that this hour between 10 and 11 becomes a time of study need or of catching up on the latest news. And sadly, but of a fact, the attendance dwindles down to but a handful. This indeed is a sad commentary on any group that proposes to be a religious group, especially on a group of students in a seminary. It is the function of my office to assist in strengthening the devotional life on campus. This is what the catalog says, what the Constitution of the SEC says. Already, things are in the working that promise to me and to those who participate that things will be different. There are prayer groups forming in the dorm, and we've had so many this week that we haven't been able to contain them in one room. This is a delight. But this is insufficient because only a few people in only one section of the dorm seem to be representative. We would like to have all in the dorm participating in these prayer groups. It is my hope and the hope of my committee that other such groups will be formed in the other areas on campus, in Bostwick, in the duplexes, in the other buildings of residence. I would also like to hope and am working on holding Vesper services in the evening on the steps of the gymnasium, a time when we can all come together for a few moments of meditation at the close of the day. And it is my highest hope that each one of you would come to develop the deepest type of personal devotional life, as Dr. Durham spoke. Because this is what we need in order to be ministers and effective ministers of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we but look at his example and the many, many times that he withdrew to himself in order to commune with God, let us do likewise. And we pledge our will to corporate worship as we would now stand and read responsively the reading numbered 68, Worship in God's House. Would you stand, please? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. The Lord God is a sun and shield. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we realize the truth of the hymn we have just sung, that daily we are constrained to be debtors unto thy grace and unto thine infinite mercy. And so may we daily seek thy face as we worship together in our chapel services, as we meditate upon thy precepts all the day long, as we would gather together in prayer groups, to lay our needs not only at the feet of thy omnipotence, but lay the needs of one another upon our hearts. In this end, direct us, putting from us any excuse or reason that would deter us from worshiping thee. We make our prayer realizing that you hear us, because we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.